Oh, hi, podcast listeners. There's many ways you can listen to the Real Nerds Podcast. You can subscribe on iTunes. You can also subscribe on Stitcher Radio. You want to send us a Twitter message? You can do that. It's so easy, at Real Nerds. Like us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. You can visit our website, realnerdspodcast.com, where there'll be a lot of articles for you to not only read, but to listen to our previous shows. Do you like your stories told through pictures? Then you can also follow us at Real Nerds on Instagram. You can also call us, 720-6NERDS5. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Camera, action!
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd
doesn't
can...
Doesn't talk film! I'm sorry.
Take it outside.
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd will give it all they got. Lights, camera, action!
Hey, you choose the great podcast to listen to. We are the Real Nerds Podcast. And every week we see a new movie and we podcast our experience to the world. Pretty much the greatest podcast that has ever existed. I am Ryan and I am joined by my friend of 25 years, I think.
Yikes.
Brad.
You said choosed.
I said choosed.
Yeah. I was like, we're so smart. SMRT.
That's the new choosing gum. Have you ever had the choose gum?
No.
No, instead of chewing.
Oh.
Hey Brad, how are you?
Oh, tired. As you knew off air, I've been my storage unit raised my rent and I was like, F that. And then I went and got two separate smaller units for considerably less at the same place. So I just was wheeling my stuff back and forth between these two units for the past few days.
What a bunch of fucking idiots.
Yeah. It's just like, oh, thanks everybody for like making my unit in such demand that, you pushed me out of it.
It is weird. There's like weirdness going around with rent and home prices and.
Yeah. Screw it. All of you for willing to pay more for that size space. And then forcing me to, yeah, like,
yeah,
you'd think that their job is to fill the units and that's it, like, get 100% of these filled, and I occupied that and paid on time for 2 years, 3 years at this point, and now I can't because some other asshole is willing to pay $327 a month for it.
Wow, you think too they would, like, I guess it is a lease and they can raise the rent on it.
Yeah, it's a month-to-month thing, and who knows if that person's going to, whoever rents it next is going to do it for as long as I did. You think?
Yeah, they're taking guaranteed money with the hope of making more money.
Yeah. Stepping over a dollar to make a dime.
Yeah. Well, it's weird, too. Like, the inflation stuff, I noticed they charge, it really where it's the most is stuff you need, like toothpaste and deodorant. That's like, I get Old Spice deodorant and it's like $7.50 now for a stick of deodorant. It's like, Jesus, criminy monkeys.
Yeah. If they want to save money, I know some enormous unnecessary salaries they could take that money from, but no.
Why would they do that?
They make me pay for it. Yeah. Yep. But the solution is to not buy it. Like, I know it's hard, but there's alternatives and you just got to like, do the legwork and look for ways to not give already rich people your money.
Yeah.
You know, Old Spice isn't the only option out there.
It isn't, but until it smells the most pleasant to me.
Until their parent company buys up the competition and then pretends they're not a monopoly.
Yeah, right. But that's called Procter & Gamble.
Anyway. The movie
we
podcast.
See a new movie and we podcast our experience to the world. This week we saw Sasquatch Sunset. Stay tuned where we'll recommend the film or not, play the trailer, and then spoil the movie. We usually do movie news, but I'm going to change that this week. We're going to talk to our very own Bradley Haig, who visited Wyoming for Wyoming PopCon, and we'll talk about his experience there, and then we'll talk about movies we watched throughout the week.
Cool.
So, Brad, do you recommend Sasquatch Sunset?
Only if you like just have a craving for something really weird, and just want to sit in a vibe, I guess. Otherwise, I can't be like, hey, you should go see this.
I'm in the same boat. It's like, I wouldn't say it's a bad movie, but my review on Letterboxd is literally, this movie's fucking weird.
I know.
Because, and you can't really recommend it because you're right. You have to be in the right mind frame, I think. And you know what I mean? And it's hard for me to recommend this movie. I mean, it's creative, but I don't know. Here's the trailer for Sasquatch Sunset. I saw the trailer, I did want to see the movie because this is the same guys that did Swiss Army Knife Man, right? Or Swiss Army Man?
No,
which ones? Where am I mixing them up? Who did they do?
Zellner Brothers. Well, all yeah. I know is that they did like cheap YouTube versions of this, and this is like the big budget version of it.
Yeah, so, did you go see that at the Alamo?
Yeah.
The pre-show was all those YouTube things. And then it was put together on this, you know, with a bigger budget.
Yeah.
And stitched together. It's just bizarre. I mean, the story literally is you follow this family of possibly the last Sasquatches ever for a full calendar year and how they survive in the wilderness. And that's literally the premise of the movie and the whole movie.
Yeah. they're looking for other Sasquatches, and it doesn't go well.
And it has a kind of a deforestation vibe to it, that we're basically cutting down their habitat,
yeah,
and they're forced to move closer to society. The Alpha, I think is his name, he just wants to fuck his woman Sasquatch. And then they have a little son, and then there's also the Jesse Eisenberg. I don't remember what his name is, but he's kind of like the straggler along, guy. And yeah, that's what they do. I mean, there's some really, I was hoping it was going to be funnier. I mean, I laughed at parts that maybe you're not supposed to.
I know. I laughed at all the parts where he died.
Me too. So there's a part in it where the Alpha is like tripping on mushrooms,
and he decides he's gonna wrestle a mountain lion,
a cougar.
and he doesn't come home.
Yeah,
and they find him, and he's getting his insides eaten out by the cougar or the mountain lion. And I laughed really hard when they were throwing rocks, and that one hit his head, and it caved in like a rubber mask. I mean, I'm sure that's what they were going for, but I was laughing.
Yeah. And then later the tag-along Sasquatch like is just kind of like running along or like stepping along this log that's kind of dipped in the lake, and then he trips and falls under it, and I guess it rolls over his foot, and he just can't move the log, so it just like slowly rolls him and pushes him underwater until he drowns.
Then they throw their own shit at him. It's just bizarre.
Yeah.
And when she gives birth and stuff. And
yeah, she gives birth to a Sasquatch, which also, like, I don't know, I guess she rolls over on it during the night and, like, suffocates it.
Yeah.
And she has to revive it.
Yeah.
And at one point, they find a man-made road, and they just, like, lose their shit and start shitting all over the road. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, it's bizarre. And it's, I don't know. Like I said, I couldn't recommend it because I don't know. Like, I guess people can see it because it's just so weird. But
yeah, it takes all the chances you kind of wish other movies took. Like, the movie has no English dialogue. It's all grunting.
Mm-hmm.
I forget what movie we just talked about where we appreciated that. Like, it didn't. Oh yeah. The Godzilla versus Kong.
Yeah.
And
yeah, you definitely know what's happening in the movie. I mean, you're not told that their habitat's being destroyed. You're not told that they're the last of their kind and looking for them, but you understand that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, it's a testament to the filmmakers and the actors.
Fun fact. The Zellner brothers are from Greeley.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe they inhale too much of the manure up there. But, you know, you also appreciate them being weird and sticking with their weirdness. You know, they definitely didn't give in to that this is a, you know, bigger budgeted movie, so we're not going to have a placenta thrown at a cougar so it eats it, so they don't attack them. And I mean, the movie literally ends with them going to the Willow Creek gift shop and just like grunting.
I was wondering what the ending was, because I literally fell asleep like right as they showed up to that shop.
Yeah, that's it. They just go, and then it ends.
And they just stand next to on the wall like Jane, Silent Bob.
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess I didn't miss that much. Yeah,
you didn't miss anything.
Yeah.
And that's literally the movie. I don't know what else to talk about with the movie.
Yeah, there's no like important story arc. That they just, yeah, there's this tribe, and you just, it's like you're just watching a documentary of them just moving from one place. Across
each season.
That's a good
way of describing it. Yeah. Just like a documentary.
I mean, the makeup on the Sasquatches is fantastic. Whoever did the big budget.
I was kind of hoping the ending was going to be the Sasquatch, you know, famous like video.
Oh, yeah.
that's how I would have ended it.
Just one of them left walking through. Yeah. And some human finds them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe they can't, because maybe someone owns that.
Maybe. Yeah. You might be right.
Yeah, and the other funny part is like their dicks are like super like stringy, and they're always exposed.
Yeah, always like flapping.
Yeah, they get boners and stuff when they occasionally. Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, the one had a huge boner when he was gonna fight the
cougar.
The cougar.
Yeah, pretty graphic stuff, but
yeah, it's just weird. All right. Hey, Brad, this week, I guess it's still technically not been a week, but you went to Laramie, Wyoming.
Yeah. We were invited to the Wyoming Pop Culture Con in Casper, Wyoming. And yeah, I went there, set up our little table, and sat there for the weekend meeting people. And it was at a abandoned Macy's.
Yeah, I can tell by the carpet. You go, oh, that does look like a department store.
Yeah, like I thought it was cool. You know, I think other people go in and be like, oh, there's like stuff hanging from the ceiling, exposed holes, but it was cool because like you could go around like to the backside of things, I guess is the way to put it. Like there's all these rooms and entrances for merchandise and stuff, and I had fun exploring that. And yeah, and that is a
I will say they seemed really nice. They kept on sending us really nice messages.
Yeah. I got there like at 4 a.m. and I still hadn't received a like what's the plan? Like, where do I go? So they're like, you know, we're coming here soon. We'll be in touch. And I was like, you know, it's okay. Like, you don't have to like go now. I'll just bum around Casper until like 9 a.m. It was pretty quiet. Like, at one point we had like 3 booth spaces available to us. I was like, that's such overkill.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And then, typical like people around us fashion, 2 booths didn't show up. So, I eventually did take over some spaces. I sat there and, you know, a couple people came by, but, and there was like a celebrity zone, which, I guess, what's his name? Sean Weiss from the Mighty Ducks was there.
Nice.
So I didn't know the guest list before I went. So at one point I'm just standing at the table and this guy walks by and he's like, hey, real nerds. And then he like fist bumped me. And I was like, I just thought he was like, oh, that's someone who's met us at Denver Comic Con or something. And then he took off. And then after a while, I was like, the image in my head, I put it together. I was like, oh, that's the guy from Mighty Ducks. And,
that's when you invite him on the show, Brad.
Yeah. I dabbled a little bit in a recording.
Yeah, I saw that I saw you were a guest on a podcast.
Yeah, there's 2 other podcasts there, one of which was 3-Wheel Bicycle Podcast, where they just, you know, hang out and talk about stuff. And, they came up to me on day 2, and invited me to, they wanted to do a thing on our show. So I was like, you're the first person and only person who's offered to do a recording. So let's do it. And then, I went over to theirs afterwards and it was a fun time. We just talked about movies and stuff and got to know each other. And, there's one person who actually, came by and bought merch. So
really?
Michelle, I'd like to thank your friend that you bought for being fans of the show, for buying a glass and a Star Wars shirt.
Nice.
So,
you did a good job. The picture, you had a nice setup going.
Thanks. Yeah, I just saw our merch out and, you know, some mics to give the illusion of what we do. So,
well, I appreciate you putting the vibe out.
Yeah, it's I wish when we were younger we'd had more of a chance to like go to outside of Colorado to like share our stuff and other cons. But yeah, I mean, we got invited. It's not that far away. It's like a 4-hour drive. So
yeah, I mean, next time if it's, you know, we know soon enough, I can, or late early enough, I guess I can try to squeeze it in.
Yeah, the organizers, I guess last year it was in, I forget what it is, but it was like this Macy's thing was a huge upgrade and it was pretty successful. It, you know, it wasn't like Fan Expo traffic, but
it's also Wyoming.
It was also cool. Like, you could go into the mall to go get like food and stuff.
Oh, that is cool.
Yeah. It was a mall that has like a Best Buy and a Target attached, like the Mills does.
Really?
Like the Best Buy is also attached, like the Target is there.
That's the Best Buy that pops up when I'm looking for a steelbook. It's the only one
in Casper? Oh, I guess so. when I was there, they had no Blu-ray media, so that's never happening again.
Fuckers.
Yeah. It's also like a smaller Best Buy. It's kind of the same stuff, but like a really smaller space. Obviously, it's a mall. But it was cool. To be able to like not run out and get gouged for $20 on food.
Yeah, and for one piece of pizza that's not even that good.
Yeah, just run into Target and grab something. It's like, oh, this is so convenient. Yeah, and also
that's the thing with. Sorry, go ahead.
They had a pretzel stand there, which they made it fresh. And I was like, oh my God.
Sweet.
Yeah, like I'm used to getting like, I don't know, weeks old refrigerated pretzels from movie theater, and I literally got like the first batch they cooked right in front of me, and it was amazing, like a fresh
so
pretzel.
It's like pretzel day for the office.
Exactly.
You're like family, all like, I don't want to be a part of this, you know, not paying attention, but then the pretzel day.
Yeah, it was like I was just tasting and being like, oh, I don't think I've ever had a pretzel before because this tastes amazing. It wasn't like that gooey, like stick to your teeth chewy either. It was like just great bread.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so whatever pretzel stand at the mall in Wyoming, they're doing top notch, you know, totally worth like a $7 pretzel.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. And the other cool thing I did while I was up there is, they have two movie theaters, one next to the mall and then one across town. And, they're called the Studio City Theaters. They're basically like Alamo Draft Houses, except one of them has a thing called Plus ARQ, which is a recreation of the Cooper Theater that used to be on Colorado Boulevard, the Cinerama Theater that used to be on Colorado Boulevard.
Yeah.
So it's like this curved, super long screen. And then, like this really retro look. And that was super cool to sit in and watch. I had to rewatch, Ministry of Gentlemanly Warfare, but still, yeah, like to have
the experience, right?
Yeah, it's about the experience. Like I orchestrated a bunch of things to get there on time. And in that theater, yeah, there's a bunch of memorabilia like in the halls, like leading into the auditorium with like programs and like lenses from the projectors and you know, like old timey like Roman holiday, like whatever pamphlet you get when you sit down and stuff, and like photographs and articles and stuff like, yeah, it was cool. So
it was cool.
Another thing to do while you're in Casper is to check out one of those theaters. I didn't get to the other one, but yeah, the one I went to had the special Cooper recreation, and yeah,
awesome.
not a lot of theaters in Wyoming, and they've got two of them. You think Cheyenne would have more, but they have one Regal.
Isn't there a college in Casper?
Oh, maybe.
Or is it Laramie that has a college? I don't know. It's okay. Wyoming.
Yeah. And I guess the last film related thing is, on the last day, I kind of dipped out of the con early. Because I was like, what's really going to happen with me sitting here for like the next 3 hours till they close? So I was like, you know what I could do in 3 hours is drive up to Devil's Tower and
nice.
Pretend I'm in Close Encounters of the Third Kind. And I hadn't seen it since I was a kid. So yeah, re-energizing that memory was pretty cool. And I stayed a little too long trying to catch a sunset photo that didn't happen. So it's a little perilous coming back in the dark. But yeah, it's a cool time.
It is a beautiful area up there.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. Like just walking the trail in that area.
Because, you know, southern Wyoming is not pretty at all, but the further you go north, the better it gets.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when I drove up there, I went from the room on Friday here straight up to Wyoming.
Wow.
So it was just dark the whole time. All I saw was road. And it was raining.
Oh, shit.
And then, yeah, then I was in Casper. And then from Casper to Devil's Tower was kind of like some nice landscapes, I guess. But, yeah, then back from there down to Cheyenne, it was just darkness again. So didn't see a lot of it.
Yeah, it's about what Wyoming is.
So, yeah, hopefully next year we can all do it and have an adventure of our own.
Awesome. We watch movies throughout the week at a segment I call What We've Been Watching.
So, yeah, this is the stuff we've been watching.
Brad, what'd you watch this week?
A couple things. Don't forget, we got to put Corinne's latest showtime in here, too.
Sweet, we'll do that right now.
Nope.
Hey, nerds, Corinne here for another installment of Showtime, where I tell you all about something cool I've been watching lately. This week, I'm going to give you a rundown of some anime that I watched, because, you know, why not? Also, I'll throw in some quick notes about The Bad Batch, because I am on the hype train, okay? I'm just we've got two more episodes, and I'm all in. I'm like, let's go, baby, let's go. So I was just at Jerry's. He and I kind of had like an anime night. He's like, here's some anime that you've like never seen. You should watch them. They're classics. And I was like, okay, this is stuff from 80s, 90s, like very early days of Toonami. I guess that's like how he watched it. And I'm like, I wasn't probably watching Toonami until like, I don't know, maybe like 01, 02, maybe something around there. But yeah, so these Toonami anime were before my time. So we watched a couple of episodes of Outlaw Star. It was pretty good. I'd maybe continue watching it. Interesting premise. Cast was fine. I guess like they were really kind of starting to kick off the main plot when we left them. It's about outlaws in space, basically, of, you know, they're trying to find like this big treasure or something. So yeah, I think he and I have talked about it before when I did like some kind of one of my anime posts for the Real Nerds website. So yeah, I guess check it out if you want. I think it's on Hulu. Then we also watched the first episode of Big O, which is a Steve Blum dub voice. He voices the main character in the English dub. So that was fun. I'm always a big fan of Steve Blum. I mean, he's like very well known for Spike Spiegel in Cowboy Bebop. I actually know him for a lot of other stuff, mostly Wolf's Rain, Naruto. I mean, he's been in pretty much everything. Like, you name an anime or anything, like, he's probably been in it. Like, shit, he was in an episode of The Bad Batch a couple weeks ago. It's just, like, as a background character, too, not even, like, a big player. But I was just like, oh, Steve Blum. Like, I was the Leo meme. I was like, hey, there he is. Like, I recognize him. So it was cool. I could actually, and this is something Jerry pointed out to me as well, but there are several aspects of the animation that really remind me of Batman the Animated Series, and I think this was like late 90s, early 2000s that this came out, and it's kind of like this Bruce Wayne sort of character. That's who Steve Blum plays, and he lives in this city that's just like crawling with crime, and he's not like a vigilante per se, but he's more like a negotiator. So his job is to like, you know, I guess sort of keep the peace, and he has access to this giant robot called Big O, which he calls up out of the ground in the middle of the city and like destroys a whole city block doing it. And I was like, oh, I'm sure the police and the, you know, all the infrastructure people are going to be really happy about that. Golly, I hope that building was abandoned because you just had a giant robot come up out of the city block, but okay. But nah, it was fun, and I could have sworn that Jerry showed me an episode of it before, out of order. It wasn't like the one we watched. It was a different one. So now I'm like, did I get gaslighted or something? Like, I have to watch the rest of the show just so I can find out, like, was that the show that I watched this episode of? Because I was trying to give him like basic plot details of like, I'm pretty sure like he went to this other like small town. There was something about like an electric plant or blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, no, no. And so now I'm trying to find out like, was this Big O or did I just make this up? Was this some other show that he showed me like a one-off episode of? Anyway, we watched the first two episodes of, God, forgive me, Robotech. 1985, I don't remember what it's like, some kind of saga or whatever, and I was like, oh golly, like the animation was so bad and the voice acting was really bad, and if it was just one or the other, like I might have been able to get past it, but it was both. And Jerry, I kept bitching about it, and Jerry's like, but it's 1985, and I'm like, Disney and Akira Toriyama, getting all my Japanese guys mixed up. but Hayao Miyazaki, like, they were all doing stuff in 1985, and it didn't look nearly this bad. But I understand, like, it's a very involved show. There's a lot of, like, flying robots and fighting and shit. So I know they were probably doing the best with what they had. And, of course, dubbing at that time was probably, like, garbage. So I'm not going to hold it against the dub crew because, you know, I'm an early Toonami, early WB kids, like, lineup. Like, I watched Yu-Gi-Oh! When it was censored by 4Kids, so, like, I get it. You just gotta work with what you got, but, I don't know. Jerry really praised it. He's like, oh, it's like one of the best. It's like a classic anime. It taught me so much about like science or whatever. And I'm like, that's great, but I don't have to watch it. So I told him, I was like, of the three we watched, I would go back and I would watch the rest of Big O, or at least like a few more episodes, just to really kind of get a feel for it. Cause we only watched the one of Big O. We watched three of Outlaw Star, and I might continue it. But yeah, I'm like, no, sorry, I don't feel compelled to watch any more Robotech whatsoever. So anyway, those are the ones we watched. So I got to tell you about one more anime, and then I'll get into Bad Batch. So this weekend, we had the Spy Family movie release in theaters in the United States. Oh my gosh, I've been waiting for this since like before Christmas, because that's when it came out in Japan. It made, I don't know, like $20 million or something. I don't know. It did well over there. It's come out in other countries more recently, but I think, of course, America's always the last one to get it. It's so frustrating. But it was awesome. So this is Spy Family. It's based on the existing anime, also based on a manga. But the premise is that there's this family of, well, three people plus a dog, and they all have like some big secret that they're hiding from each other. You know, one of them is a spy, one of them is an assassin, one of them is a telepath, one of them can see the future, and they're all trying to keep their secret identities, powers hidden from each other. And it's just like the comedy writes itself, but there is like some drama in there. So obviously, like, I highly recommend the anime. I love the anime. I've been following the manga, too. It's kind of slow right now, but we might be ramping up to something here. But anyway, so the movie, and I know the nerds are going to not like me for this, but I'm like, the nerds do not understand how anime movies work, because this was a discussion I was trying to have with them during the episode 600 special, where Brad had to watch the Inuyasha movies, and he's like, oh, so the Inuyasha movie 2 is like a sequel to the first movie, but I didn't see the first movie. And I'm like, you don't need to know jack shit about the first movie. This is like a spinoff of the show, and it's not like really canon. It's never going to be addressed again. You know, you don't need to know anything about, you just need to, if anything, know kind of like the basic characters, premise. I mean, they try to fill you in as much as they can. And that's what they did in the Spy Family movie. You know, they kind of give you like a rundown of like, okay, like the father's the spy and the mom is the assassin and all this stuff. And of course, they're on opposite sides and they don't know it. And they're trying to keep their identities a secret from each other and all this. And so they give you some background because they're trying to bring new people in and get people excited about the show and like wanting to watch the show. So, but they're also like trying to cater to existing fans and, you know, kind of give them like a fun one-off adventure. And that's the point of these anime movies. The bulk of the time, I won't say all of the time, because there are some exceptions, but they're very, very few and far between. And even like with Dragon Ball Super, the two big anime movies that they had, where they ultimately ended up bringing those plot points into the show, what they did is they just redid them for the show. Like, they took the same plot points from the movie and then made episodes about them for the Dragon Ball Super TV show. So, yeah, it's kind of frustrating as an anime fan, like, whenever a movie of your, like, favorite franchise comes out, because you're like, so, like, this isn't going to play into the plot at all. But it's just kind of like a fun one-off, kind of like an alternate universe sort of thing. Like, don't think of this as being canon. Think of this as just being kind of like, yeah, like a alternate universe, like a what if kind of scenario. Like, yeah, what if the family took a pointless vacation to some other part of the country to go and taste this dessert that's like super expensive and exotic, and then along the way, like, the daughter gets kidnapped by the army. Like, it's kind of ridiculous, but again, that's kind of why we're here, because we like how ridiculous and how, you know, again, the comedy writes itself with just some of the scenarios that they come up with, and everybody's doing like mental gymnastics to try to like figure out like, oh, what are they, why are they acting this way? And oh, it can't be because she knows I'm a spy, or she can't, oh, he's cheating on me and all this. So Yeah, there are a couple of gags. I guess my biggest problem with the movie was there is a plot point that involves the daughter, who's like 4 or 5 years old, having to poop because she swallowed this like highly classified intel that was like disguised as a chocolate. So she accidentally eats it, finds out, oh, like, it's like a big deal and everybody's after this information. So there's a whole plot point of these guys like waiting around for her to poop. And it's like a little awkward. There is a funny joke in there of how they, oh my gosh, she goes into this like imaginary scenario of like, yeah, I can't explain it. It's just really funny, but it is a little awkward that I'm like, we're sitting here in a movie theater watching a child trying not to poop. It's like, it's a little awkward, but, nah, it was a great time. Like, the animation's stellar. I saw it in the dub first, actually. I usually go subs first, but, yeah, I saw it in the dub. Cast did a great job. I mean, just, yeah, it sounds amazing. Another small gripe I had was the music in the movie. They used these two songs very heavily in the advertising. They were like, these songs are going to be in the movie. And then they were both, like, in the credits. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, you could have at least used one of them in the climax. Like, that would have fit perfectly. And I'm a big fan of those songs now because I've been listening to them for months. So, yeah. Anyway, I've rambled about all of this long enough. But, yeah, I'll just quickly wrap up. If you're at all interested, I recommend Spy Family. Again, the movie Code White is in the theaters right now. Or it was, as of this recording. And then also you can watch the anime. I think it's on like Hulu, Crunchyroll, if you have either of those. So yeah, check it out. It's fantastic. Great action, great drama. A lot of like poignant, heartfelt moments in there, but also just like a ton of comedy. Like it really hits just about every genre. And I really don't see how anybody could not like it because it's got a little bit of something for everybody. And I've tried to get Ryan to watch it because I'm like, there's this whole arc with Yor on a cruise ship where she's just like murdering people left and right. And I was like, oh, Ryan would love this because you know how he loves all the blood and gore and shit. So, oh well, I'll just miss out. But yeah. And yeah, so final thoughts on The Bad Batch. I'm so excited. I'm just like all in. Like, let's go. tomorrow night is the penultimate episode. And then after that, it's the finale and we're done. And I'm not ready to say goodbye to these characters, but I do need to see how this ends because I'm just like, woo! These weekly drops are killing me. So, I haven't watched a show all the way through, like, live and waited for, you know, the finale and everything. And the most recent example was Ted Lasso, and that didn't go well. If you know me, then you know not to bring up Ted Lasso around me anymore. Because I just, anyway, so, Bad Batch, you gotta help me out here. You gotta redeem yourself, because this is, I need, like, a good series finale after the terrible taste that Ted Lasso left in my mouth. So, anyway, I'll leave you all with that, and hope you all have a great time, and keep it real, nerds. Bye.
Thanks, Corinne.
Yeah, thanks, Corinne.
Yeah.
yeah, right. Back to what I was watching.
Yeah, more importantly.
I saw The People's Joker.
Yeah, that would look interesting.
Have you been following that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Got pulled from the festival circuit once WB became hip to it. And now it's back out doing an actual theatrical run. Has had a lawyer consult with and assured that this is the thing you can do. And yeah, it's interesting. I can't say I enjoyed the movie, but I appreciate that it exists and that the filmmaker achieved it. It's entirely on a green screen, and it's kind of like a YouTube essay on queer identity. Using the characters from DC Comics to like relate that, so it's a lot of just
so they
of, yeah
I'm sorry ahead. Do they treat it as a parody then? Is that how they're able to get away with it?
I guess it's a parody of, like, I wouldn't say it's a DC movie, but it's almost like seeing your friends just kind of cosplay and then tell another story.
Hmm.
So, yeah. Like, if your friends pretended to be like the Joker or the Penguin, and they all hung out, but they're not really doing a DC story. If that makes sense. They're not making a Batman movie. They're just kind of wearing the costumes of it. And then for some strange reason, Lorne Michaels is the villain. It's almost like they tried out for SNL and then got rejected, and this is like a revenge movie for that.
Is it real Lorne Michaels or just a like?
It's a fake Lorne Michaels.
Playing him. Okay.
Yeah, they have some like CGI, like some like low polygon CGI version of Lorne Michaels, and it's almost like a Tim and Eric sense of humor, which makes sense because like Tim Heidecker's in the movie. I think as the news guy, but like the director's worked with those people and those programs from Adult Swim and stuff. So a lot of this movie feels like, yeah, like all that on a green screen. But yeah, just kind of like talking to the audience and just explaining their experience as a queer person and, the trials and tribulations of all that. So I appreciate the effort, but like as a movie going experience, it's like, okay, I'm not the audience for this.
Yeah. I heard a lot of interesting things about it.
I'm not the target audience for this. Yeah. So, but yeah, like as this, like a narrative, it's like not that interesting. But as an expression of, you know, art, I appreciate it.
Got it. True.
And then the next thing I saw was Boy Kills World, which is also out in theaters.
That one kind of slipped under the radar.
Yeah, for a reason. it's a weird one. Like the action is awesome, but it feels like at the 11th hour, some producer was like, the main character doesn't talk because he's a mute. So I don't trust the audience to get what he's thinking, so please put a voiceover on it. And then they did a voiceover with John Benjamin from Bob's Burgers and Aqua Teen, and he narrates every single friggin' thought possible. And it's just so lame to listen to. Like, I've sitting there going, like, there's a better version of this movie where, like, I love that guy, but it's just doesn't mesh well with this. Like, at one point, they even try to explain it away. Like, I'm talking in this super cool voice because that's how I think of myself. And, like, visually, it's just not reading the same way.
Gotcha.
And, yeah, it's about this kind of like Monkey Band. This guy, his family's killed, and Famke Janssen's the villain. Like, she runs this society. And there's like a purge day where she like just picks a bunch of random middle classers and just executes them in public for her amusement.
As one would.
Yeah. And I guess later you find out she's like mentally ill, but like, okay.
Like, yeah, all right.
And all of her lackeys don't step up to stop her. Just go along with it. And there's like a TV show that they do it on too. But anyway, Bill Skarsgård, his family gets executed and he becomes an orphan and somehow survives. I'm not sure how he survived. But then he gets trained by this guy who lives in the wild, and then is trained on his revenge mission, and then eventually goes back to the city to try and mow down as many people as he can. Charlton Copley is like the husband of Famke Janssen's daughter. He's like the first to go down. Brett Gelman is is one of her sons who's like disenchanted and is willing to like burn everything down and helps him at one point, but also like saves his own ass. And there's like this one really cool assassin on her side that has like this mask that has a eyepiece that like types out words and stuff that she says. And there's a twist at the end of like who she is. But yeah, basically, yeah, he just mows through a bunch of people on his way to the top to get her. And that doesn't go so well. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just reading the cast. I like Jessica Roth a lot.
Who's that?
She's cool. She's in Happy Death Day and stuff.
Oh, she's probably the assassin person. Yeah. But yeah, it was just like, if it wasn't for that voiceover, that's just silly, silly voiceover. It would probably be better, but like the action's good, but, and there's a lot of it. Like it's pretty much nonstop killing. And the last thing I saw was, Challengers, which, I was like, I don't want to see that. And I ended up doing it anyway, cause I ran out of movies to watch. So, and, yeah, that's interesting. It wasn't like, I love this. It was more like, wow, they're like really making an epic movie out of like a really simple story, about these, two guys who are, head over heels for Zendaya's character, tennis player who gets injured and then picks one of them. And probably the coolest parts is the cinematography and the time jumps. So they got kind of go back and forth in time to explain like how this feud happened. But also at the whole time, I'm just like, guys, there's other girls out there. Like you don't have to like settle for just her, you know, you have to fight over this one chick. So yeah. What'd you watch?
I just watched a couple things. I'm still doing that random, movies of movies I own that I haven't watched. So I rewatched Gretel and Hansel, which is one of the last movies we saw before coronavirus pandemic shut everything down.
Yeah.
And, I still feel the same way about it. It looks cool. The story is interesting, but it moves kind of slow. And yeah, I mean, it's an interesting movie. I don't know if it's a straight telling of Hansel and Gretel, because I don't really, I mean, the only thing I know is that Hansel and Gretel like go to a witch's house and eat food, and yeah, she tries to cook them. This one kind of explores it in a different way.
In the original fairy tale, they get cooked and that's the end of it, right?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah. Yeah, because you know the Grimm's fairy tales were fucked up, man. But yeah, it's still, I mean, it still looks great. The woman who plays the witch is really good in it. I like Osgood Perkins. I think he makes interesting films.
I think that's the Borg Queen from First Contact.
You're right, it is.
Yeah.
And she's great in First Contact. So I went to Twist and Shout on Record Store Day because there was a Faces Rod Stewart album that was only available on Record Store Day. And when I got there, it was sold out and I was pissed. So I went over to the Blu-ray section and they've gotten in a lot of, I think some, like some guy died and someone traded in his Vinegar Syndrome, stuff. So I picked this random one that had a really cool slip cover, and the slip cover didn't have any description of what the movie was. It's called Alley Cat. And the slip cover is like some woman like standing, I guess, on stairs or something. I don't know. Have you seen this?
It's like I was flipping through Prime and it was on Prime and I bookmarked it for later, but I've never actually watched it.
So, so in this movie, this woman, I forget her name. I'll look it up real fast. But anyways, she, at the very beginning of the movie, her name is Billy and there's these like punk guys that are trying to steal the tires off a really cool car. And so she hears them. And her grandpa says, "Hey, Billy, they're trying to steal your car's tires." And she says, "Wait here, Gramps." And she walks in and she takes off her shirt. So there's nudity, no joke, like a minute into this movie. So she goes out there and then she just starts like using karate and kicking the shit out of these guys.
Nice.
Then they run off and tell their boss and they're like, "Oh, we're going to make her pay." And then, like the next night or a couple nights later, I don't know which one it is. Her grandparents are walking home and they see him and they stab her grandma to death. And so then she goes on this revenge, thing, not just for like the guys that killed her grandparents, but she jogs a lot. And the first night she jogs, the one guys who tried to steal the tires off her car are trying to rape this woman in the park. So there's more nudity. And then she kicks their asses. But when the cops show up when they call them, they arrest her because she has a gun in the park, not the guys that tried to rape this girl. So, then she teams up with the rookie cop who's just trying to do good. And there's more karate and more like kicking the shit out of guys. Now, it's a really fun movie. But also know that it's a Vinegar Syndrome movie or release. So the acting is kind of all over the place. And it's not like the highest quality, but it's still fun. And like there's this really weird part where they go meet their boss. And of course, there's a naked chick there. And before the scene ends, the chick he's sleeping with, he's really mean to her throughout the scene. And then she pokes her head out of the bathroom and she says, "You got it." And he's like, "What the fuck you talking about?" She says, "The clap." And the scene ends. What the fuck? It's like, I don't know how to describe it. It's just like this woman who knows how to do karate kicks the shit out of people that are being raped or trying to rape her. Yeah. And like the special features are really cool. The slip cover is really sweet. It's like really sturdy cardboard. And you actually pull the movie out from underneath. So it wraps all the way around. It's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, I love Vinegar Syndrome like boxes. Like they have very like minimalist art, and like the actual quality of the paper is so good.
Yeah. So it's like a fun movie. And I got it. It was like $22. And when I got home, I looked it up on Amazon, and it's so limited edition. It's selling on Amazon for like $70. So, yeah, it was fun. I mean, you know, there's always the caveat of it's Vinegar Syndrome, so it's a little goofy. But as long as you're willing to accept that, you're good to go. And the last thing I watched was Stunt Rock, which I got from Kino Lorber's sale. And the movie is literally this Australian stunt guy who just does crazy stunts throughout the movie with this band that plays like kind of not great hard rock music throughout it. Did you watch it yet, Brad?
Yeah, I watched it. Like I fell asleep watching it. And I haven't been in a huge rush to revisit it, but yeah, it's literally just stunts and like rock music.
Yeah, it's fun. Like I had fun watching it. And, but there's no real, it's literally what I just said is the story. There's some funny moments like when he gets a really bad concussion and they won't let him out of the hospital. And then he just climbs out the window and climbs down and jumps into some lady's convertible and takes off. But yeah, it's a fun movie. And the stunts are pretty cool in it. That one I thought was crazy was at the very beginning where he's shot like an arrow. Like, holy shit. What is this guy doing? Yeah. That's what I watched this week.
I imagine the Fall Guy is going to deliver the missing narrative that Stunt Rock didn't about a tale of a stunt guy. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what, Brad? That is a great transition. Our movie next week is The Fall Guy, starring the one and only Emily Blunt. Did you see Beavis and Butthead showed up on the red carpet for that?
I did. That was awesome.
And then they went and talked to Emily Blunt. Great.
It's like, I don't know your work at all. Like they tell us to come down, but we're not sure. Yeah. Go ahead.
My favorite still is I've heard rumblings.
Still don't know who this Beavis and, yeah, the red carpet. That was funny.
Yeah. I just love how it's transcended. It's become its own like entity now.
Thanks for listening to Real Nerds Podcast, a Nebulous Visions production. Stream or download episodes, read articles at realnerdspodcast.com. Stream us on Apple or Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or iHeartRadio. Follow us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. Twitter and Instagram, at Real Nerds. Watch us on YouTube, Real Nerds Podcast. Email us at realnerds@gmail.com. Call us at 720-6NERDS5. Thank you to Sparks Mandrill, Mike at Plan 9 Studios, and Bolognium for all of our groovy theme songs. And that's how you fucking do it.